360 of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Beth Below. Since 2010, the Introvert Entrepreneur has been providing information and inspiration for introverts who want to amplify their strengths, as well as for extroverts who want to understand why introverts are so doggone quiet. I'm a professional coach, author, and speaker based in the Pacific Northwest and serving introverts worldwide. I remember when I was first introduced to the concept of networking. It was late 1997, and I was about a year out of graduate school. My degrees were in music performance and arts administration, so there was little to no conversation in the classroom about what it meant to network to advance our careers. It was after I'd landed my first job and realized pretty quickly that it wasn't a good fit that a colleague named Jeff introduced me to the concept of networking. Then my husband, who was in public relations at the time, kept encouraging me to network, even when it was draining or uncomfortable. My diligence paid off because I found a new job before I left the old one. I owe that and every job, client, friend, and colleague I've secured after that to networking. But networking isn't necessarily an introvert's favorite activity. It combines so many things that drain us. An expectation of lots of social interaction, most of which is small talk, often with people we've never met before. Add to that a feeling of pressure to make something happen on the spot, and our aversion to networking increases. But don't get me wrong, there are introverts who enjoy networking and excel at it. But even they, at some point, had to learn how to make networking less tiring and more comfortable. Many of the people who appear to be natural networkers worked hard to cultivate that skill. My guest today is going to give us some skill-building ideas that will make networking more effortless and enjoyable. Sandy Jones Kaminsky has more than 20 years of experience as a communications and business development professional. She is a networking and LinkedIn expert, Inc.com number one business book wish list author, Byline columnist, keynote speaker, and self-described connector. Sandy is known for empowering and motivating audiences to invest in themselves and their networks by making connections matter. Her book is titled, I'm at a Networking Event, Now What? As the founder of Bella Domain Media's Pay It Forward Party, Sandy believes that beyond self-promotion, networking can help build community, and when approached with a pay it forward attitude, it can even help create healthier social and business environments. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm really glad to be talking with you today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be doing this interview with you.
Well, I can hear in your voice probably that you're already smiling, but what's making you smile today?
Well, I was hoping that kismet was going to occur and I would have the story to share. And I did just have a little visit from a hummingbird on our balcony as I was sitting here prepping for the call. And I was just, I'm looking for him to come back. So yes. I'll stay focused.
Yeah, if all of a sudden your thoughts take flight, it's the hummingbird.
Yeah.
Nice. And so thanks for chatting with me. I was drawn to you because of your expertise in networking. And we know that networking is something that introverts often get a little prickly about or feel a little exhausted just even thinking about it. But before we jump into that, I'm curious, do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
Well, based on Myers-Briggs and a few other tools, I definitely have been identified as an extrovert, which has helped me in my career. But it's also, I think, how I developed that side of myself, because I find, and I'm a Gemini too, which is, I'm not super, but I just know that I have two personalities, right? I have two sides to me. So there were times in my career where, you know, my job depended on me developing those skills that are attributed to extroverts. But there's this other side of me that used to love to be able to just shut a door in my office and it was budget time and I would have this great excuse to not be available and could just focus on my spreadsheet and be heads down and enjoy that peace. And I still have that going on today, right? I have to do a lot of networking in my professional life, and sometimes I just get overwhelmed by it. When I was living in Seattle, I would have to go to 2-3 events a week. I mean, it was kind of expected. I was in business development and marketing, and I just couldn't wait till I didn't have to do that anymore. So I think everyone can get overwhelmed by that activity.
That's a great reminder that it's not that extroverts aren't necessarily always up for the networking and always excited by it and energized by it, that even they can be exhausted from it.
And you even have to psych yourself for it, right? And I have a very unique way that it's not unique. I'm sure other people do it, but you know, it's part of what I wrote about in my book, and it was what pushed me to develop a different approach that I think could help a lot of your listeners.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought up that different approach, because I think networking has gotten a bad rap, probably. And a lot of introverts see networking as a really dreaded activity. We'd probably put it in the same category as root canals or being stuck on a long flight next to a super chatty seatmate. So how can we look at networking with a new approach and a new light, one that's more positive and less painful?
Well, I wanted to share a definition from the Oxford Dictionary that describes what a network is, right? And we can assume that it's this activity of doing this. A group of people who exchange information, contacts, and experience for professional or social purposes, right? So the idea is, when you're networking, what you're really just trying to do is exchange, right? That's the operative word there. Is you're trying to exchange knowledge you might have, ideas you can share, resources. And resources can be people. It could be a link to an article. It could be a TV show, right? There's different things that you're able to exchange when you go out to an event. And what I've done is taken that a step further, and you know, instead of worrying about my side of the exchange as much, what I'm going to get out of it, because I really do think that that's often what makes many people uncomfortable with networking, is that you feel like you're going out there with a label on your head that says, help me, right? Or talk to me, or I need, right? And that's what makes some of us very uncomfortable. And the reality is that if you can flip that around and reframe your networking activities to be about giving instead, where you're approaching it as something akin to volunteering, and this is kind of how I look at it and how I reframed it many times, especially when I was sort of, you know, towards the end of a week and really tired and I knew I had to go to this event on Friday night, whatever, I would just think about it as a way for me to give back, right? When you go into these environments, instead of focusing on, oh, what's your small talk going to be like and how am I going to impress people or not, or, you know, I need some leads for my business right now, so who looks like a likely prospect, right? Put all that aside and approach the networking event with a how can I help you head on. Right? So I call it a pay it forward approach, where you're really going out just trying to figuring you've gotten all kinds of help from all kinds of people in your life throughout the week. And now tonight I'm going to go out and see who I can help. I'm going to try and find out what people are working on, you know, make some conversation about their current business or their challenges and see if I can't offer them some help. And that becomes sort of the focus of your evening. Right. And you just think about it differently and you think about, well, what ideas you might be able to offer somebody, what knowledge, and you just have a different outcome that you expect. So instead of feeling like you wasted time, parking, money, babysitter, you know, I mean, whatever, missing your workout, you have a very different feeling when you leave the event. And even when you're going into it, you have a little more enthusiasm because you're thinking, okay, this is one of the things I'm trying to do this year. I'm trying to give back a little bit more, but I don't have time to volunteer with Girl Scouts, or I can't get to the senior home 5 hours a month. Right. But what I can do is take that desire to do some service in my community and put it into a networking event where very likely the people at that event or where you're going, they are a part of your community somehow, right? Maybe you just don't know them yet, but they're all in Seattle or they're all in Chicago or they're all, you know, in the East Bay in San Francisco. I mean, there's different things that make us community. And if we think about going into these situations with goals, right, and think about, I want to help three people tonight. That's how I go into them. I think about, okay, what's my goal for tonight? It's not always, okay, I got to get three leads for my LinkedIn session or something, right? And it's not. I go in and think, okay, this is not about me. This is about the people I might be able to help. And all of us, whether we're extroverts or introverts or in between, we do have a desire to help, right? I mean, it's something that is part of what organically happens at networking events, right? Where you just start learning about someone's business and then you're like, oh, you know what? I know someone in San Francisco that you should talk to. Whatever, right? I would do it here thinking about you. So it's like you just go at it with that focus and don't worry about talking to 50 people or 10 people even. Keep it manageable, keep it comfortable for you, because as long as you're not focused on self and focused on others, you're going to have a great experience. It's just 9 out of 10 times, that's what's going to happen.
I really appreciate this idea that providing resources is a way of networking. Because I think about like one of the things that makes me happiest is being able to say, oh, have you read such and such? You know, the things you're describing, I think you would really get a lot out of this book, or it would really resonate with you, or, you know, an article or a website, like you said. Those things just make me happy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you feel great, right? It's part of, I mean, and tools, like I always tell people about TaskRabbit, or there's these tools we use that, you know, you hear somebody struggling and this is the thing too. I mean, I wanted to share a little bit more about how to make that easier to have those more comfortable conversations too.
Yeah. Because like you said, you know, instead of thinking of it as small talk, it's deeper than that. And I think sometimes we get caught in between those two things. Like we feel like we can't go too deep, but at the same time, that's where we feel like we could be of most service, or it's where we feel like we get more energy. So how can we walk that line? What can make that easier?
Well, there's two things, right? I do recommend that people who are not so comfortable with chit chat, because guess what? Sorry, chit chat is a part of our lives, whether it's at the Starbucks counter, you know, whether it's the cashier at Macy's, I mean, Nordy, wherever you are, there is this expectation that you make a little bit of small talk. I mean, even when you get in the row on a plane, you at least, most people will know, it's just mature and adult to acknowledge the other people, right? If they're sitting 4 inches from you, you just at least acknowledge them and nod or smile. You do something, but you don't have to talk them up, but you just acknowledge them. And one of the things that can happen is, yes, somebody could be chatty. And what I think is those situations are great for practicing that ability to make small talk. And then you just also have to be able to know how to end that chit chat, right?
Oh, gosh, that's one of the biggest things. How do you bring it to a close?
Well, and one of the things for me is just, I always focus on what I brought with me, because everybody brings something, right? We usually bring a book or a Kindle or iPad or lab. I mean, you've got something, a magazine, right? We tend to, unless you're going to sleep. I mean, whatever it is, it's like the idea of saying, gosh, I really love to hear more, but I really need to take a power nap before we get there. I didn't sleep last night. You know, whatever it is, it's like this, just being gracious and not worrying about that you have to listen to them. You don't, right? You have to just find a comfortable way to say, I need to read this book. You know, this is part of my book club. If I don't get through it, I'm going to be kicked out. I mean, whatever it is, right? I need to finish this presentation, or I need to watch this movie because My husband has been driving me crazy to watch it. I mean, whatever. People get this signal, right? And if they don't, then you just have to be polite and again, sorry, and put some headphones on, right? This is the great thing about today. Everybody's got headphones everywhere. So, but that's just one side note. But in terms of these situations, like I said, that could be a really great place to practice though too. And I recommend people practice in low risk situations because not everybody is satisfied to not develop that skill, right? I know a lot of your listeners, there are people who know this about themselves as an introvert, but they want to feel less uncomfortable about that. So one of the things that I recommend is just practicing that chit chat, and you practice it on people that are lower risk, right? So it could be the cashier at Macy's where, you know, one of my favorite questions there is always, so how's your day going? Right? And sometimes that just completely snaps a retail person out of their funk because they're like, oh, it's going okay. You know, it's been a little busy or whatever, but it changes the energy a little bit. And it's not this requirement to have a conversation, but it's a great way to sort of practice that idea of opening up conversations. And I tell this story about my husband, and he's an introvert, very true and true. He's an artist. He's in his head most of the time, right? He has a day job in advertising. So he is, you know, he has developed some of the skills he needs to be more outgoing and communicate in meetings and all that stuff. But if he had his druthers, right, he would just keep to himself. And obviously I'm on the other side of the spectrum most of the time. And part of it is because I just have a very strong curiosity about people, right? Like I'm just curious and I'm intrigued by what other people do on this planet to find joy and contribute, right? I mean, I'm just very curious about that stuff. And we would go through this drive-through Starbucks when we first moved to Mercer Island in Seattle. It has this beautiful drive-through, and we were always, you know, we were so excited by this thing that we were going to have available to us. And being from Chicago, right, I need to add that. So that's not the case there unless you're way out in the sticks. So we would, when we first moved there, we would get in line, you know, the car in line for this drive-thru, and we'd get up to the window, and not the window, but the, you know, the machine that says, is the speaker for the person inside saying, welcome to Starbucks. How are you doing today? Right? Because that's how our Starbucks was. And my husband would usually be driving just because he likes to drive. And he would say, hey, can I get a grande mocha, no whip? Right? He would just sort of ignore the pleasantry. And I would sit in the car and be like, what? Babe, she asked you how you were doing, right? Or whatever. And he'd be like, what? She did? Oh. You know, like, I don't know. And we'd go through and get our drink. So I talked to him about that and just said, you know, that's a really, that somebody asks you a question like that, it's a great opportunity to just, you know, say something back and be pleasant. And he, plus, because he really had a desire to be more comfortable with that sort of thing as well. So, you know, a couple of days later, whatever, we're in the drive-through line, we get up to the box, and again, we hear, good morning, welcome to Starbucks, how's your day going? And he would say, good. Now, can I get a mocha with whip and whatever? And he would just, again, launch. And I'd be sitting there going, what are you doing? You still didn't answer her. She paused, you know, whatever. And he's like, well, I paused. And it's like, no, that's not what I meant. So we, you know, we'd have this discussion. And so then we would get in that line again, you know, maybe weeks later. I don't know. It eventually sunk through. And the point is, sunk in, I would be having to try and get him to stop talking, right? Like he would then, oh, I'm, you know, good. So what about you? And, you know, like it just got out of control. So it was, but it was a process, and it was a process of him just getting more comfortable with it. But again, it was a low risk place for him to practice. So it was really helpful. And again, you just have to try and ease that situation when you encounter it by often taking the lead, right? That's kind of the idea, is that if you take the lead and you just try and focus on the other person and finding out more about them, that's a great way to not dread it as much, is that you just have developed that side and you're more comfortable. And the thing is with the networking events, especially, you know, time is sort of impacting things. So when you get there, you really do want to make the best use of your time. And one of the ways that I recommend that people do that is to find out what those other people need help with, right? And the way to start that is just saying, so if I bumped into you at a networking event and you're somebody I see maybe 2-3 times a year, right, at an American Marketing Association event, whatever it might be, I would be able to say, hi, Beth, nice to see you again. So what are you working on these days? You know, what's keeping you up at night, or something like that, right? Because most of us, whether we're in career, solopreneur, business owner, whatever, there's usually something in our lives we're trying to deal with, right? Whether, you know, and I love that question because it lets people answer however they wish, right? And it may have nothing to do with their business. They may say, oh my God, we just found out our son has got celiac. We're dealing with this whole gluten-free world now. You know, I'm really struggling. I've got to figure out some resources. And a conversation ensues, right? Because there's a good chance you may say, oh, have you ever read that gluten-free girl blog? That's a really good resource. And it just warms up the conversation so that you can check that off your list. Like, well, here's someone you helped. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a business resource, but it was that social karma that is what networking is all about, right? It's this idea of being able to and being seen as somebody who has that DNA in them that is helpful. Because guess what? When we're networking, it's our personal brand we're demonstrating. So it's kind of interesting because even for you, this must be, you know, a challenge because your business is built around understanding and working with and supporting introverts. But when you go out to these events, you need to be able to connect with them, right? And you need to sort of identify the people that would need your help. So you're in a situation where you sort of do have to, you know, turn the spotlight on somebody else a bit and work that side of chit-chat side and get to connect with them. Well, I want to share a really great quote here from Guy Kawasaki, right? Most people know him. He's a Forbes columnist. He's written a bazillion books.
And he's an introvert.
Exactly. And one of the things that, you know, there's this belief that extroverts are like schmoozers, or networking is about schmoozing. And that's really not the case, right? He says, the mark of a good conversationalist is not that you can talk a lot. The mark is that you can get others to talk a lot. Thus, good schmoozers or good networkers are good listeners, not good talkers, right? So I know, I mean, sometimes the introverts out there have a bigger advantage than extroverts because they just have developed those listening skills a lot better. And if they could just get that other side of opening the conversations develop, you know, get stronger at that, they're going to have a wonderful time in every event. They're going to be successful at achieving their goals at these events and building that personal brand that you want, that you are a good listener and wow, she really paid attention. And being effective at networking also ties into being good at follow-up, right? And introverts have it made because they listen so well. When they go to follow up, they're very quick to be able to pull up something that you talked about, you know, something that they expressed they wanted a resource for, whatever it is. You've probably done a really good job of paying attention to that and hopefully made a note of it, or maybe you didn't even have to because that's a side of your personality that's really strong, that you can retain that stuff.
Sandy, you have offered us some really wonderful tips here, and I wonder if you could bottom line for us. What are the top three things that introverts can do at their next networking event to make it more productive and enjoyable?
Well, one of the things that I think is worth reiterating here is just you know, this idea of putting on that framework of offering help to other people first and set goals around that, right? Like I mentioned earlier, like, you know, just set a goal for yourself that I'm going to try and see if I can help three people tonight, or I'm going to try and make sure I meet the organizer or the speaker, right? There's always things that you can do at a networking event that don't involve just standing around looking uncomfortable, right?
Right.
There's lots of things that you can do that give you something to do so you don't feel as much anxiety about it, right? That you don't have to worry about what you're going to do there. You've already know ahead of time what to do. So plan and set goals. Make one of them offering help to certain number of people or in a certain way. Make sure you introduce yourself to the organizer and or sponsor, right? That's a really good thing to do when you're solo, especially because those people are there hoping and praying you have a great time at that event. So by introducing yourself to them, they could have an opportunity to engage. You know, you get to ask them more about, you know, one of the things that I recommend is asking, so what are your goals for this event tonight? You know, what was it, what made you, do you guys do these every quarter? Do you, whatever it might be, is just finding out more about them, and especially sponsors, right? We know this. It's, you can't have some of these events without sponsors kicking in some money to underwrite them. And a lot of times, yes, you know, we are polite and we listen to their pitch, maybe because they get to introduce the speaker or they're there with their, you know, propaganda for their company. But those are people that are good to, you know, use some of your time with because they are there hoping you're going to have a good time. Might as well hear them out, you know, introduce yourself, find out more about what they're working on and explain what you do, right? Because they're going to ask that question. Usually those are marketing people who are trained to engage in such a way. So use that as a thing you can do at the event too, right? Is connect with the hosts or the sponsors. And then also, you know, when you're there, make sure you're thinking about connecting some of the people that you meet, right? Sometimes I always recommend that people go to events, if they can, with a wing person. Because, right, the idea is you maybe go there together, but you both have your own goals and you separate at some point and make sure you're achieving your goals. And then you'll meet people that then you'll be able to say, oh, you've got to meet my friend Beth. You know, she's over there in the red top. This is what she does. You should talk to her if you can, or bring the person over to you and introduce them. You kind of cover more of the room that way, and you're able to make introductions so you don't feel like everything's a cold call kind of thing. So those will be my, you know, that's more than three, I think.
But there's so much good stuff there. What I heard was help others first and set a goal. Introduce yourself to the organizer and the sponsors, and then connecting the people that you meet with each other,
right.
Especially if you bring someone with you. And I can echo the power of networking with a partner, someone who has some similar goals and maybe knows different people than you do.
Right.
And that way you get to kind of cross-pollinate a little bit. And it's a lot easier to talk to someone when someone brings them up to you and says, hey, I want to introduce you to Sandy.
Right.
It breaks the ice.
Well, and again, even your wing person's good, but as you meet people, you have that opportunity as well, because you'll talk to, say, Bob over here and you find out what he does. And then you go and talk to Susie over here. And then you're able to say, oh, you know what? Let me bring you over to Bob, because I just talked to him and I think you and he might have some collaborations you can get together on. Right. So doing that for other people is a great way to facilitate and do good and connect. And again, remember, all worthwhile because you're showcasing your personal brand, which is your professional identity. And that all this effort is worth it for that alone.
And you bring up such a great point that we don't necessarily have time to get into here, but I think it's important for all entrepreneurs, professionals to think about. And that is, what is your personal brand? Like, to be clear on that going in, what is the identity and image that you want to be projecting? To be really intentional about that. So to take time to figure that out.
Exactly. And the idea being that networking is a vital tool in your marketing toolkit for your business, your career, whatever it might be. Networking belongs in that box. That's part of what you're marketing, is your personal brand, right? And it's an investment you're making into developing that and reinforcing that out there.
Yes. And I'm about to ask you a question about Introvert Island, which may or may not be appealing to you. going off on an island meant for introverts, but
of course I would have to deal with that.
Right? Have to deal with that. Well, what I want to ask you first, I wanted to say yes, that that your book, I'm at a networking event, now what? That jumped out at me right away as feeling like that's sort of the introvert's cry. Now what do I do? You know, I'm here.
Yeah.
And so it's just such a perfect title. And I really highly recommend this book. It's one I would probably take with me to Introvert Island, because by the time I got off, I would be like, I am so ready to, you know, interact with other people.
Thank you. That's
yeah. Great. So let's say you were granted a 3-week vacation on Introvert Island and you could take 3 books with you. And this is like the old-fashioned kind, not a Kindle or an iPad. What would you take with you and why?
The first one would be To Kill a Mockingbird, right? That's just one of my favorite books of all time. Read it probably in, you know, like junior high age. And it just always has stuck with me. And I've probably read it a few times over the years, because it just reminds you of humanity and how people perceive each other and all the things that, how far we've come and still have to go with how we coexist, right? I just think it's one of those really important books that I have trouble when I find out someone hasn't read it. But anyway, so that's one of my favorites. And plus, I just think she was a great writer and, you know, there's all these things. The other thing I would bring is my diary that I have from when I turned 12 to 13, because I have had this thing with me. I've moved all over, all different places. It's been in my treasure suitcase, right, which was my sleepover suitcase to go to grandma's house. And I have it in there with all these things. And because every once in a while, I open that diary up and I read some pages and I'm sort of surprised at how much has changed and then how little has changed in terms of the problems challenges we have in life, right? And getting along, and I mean, just all these things. So it's just a treasure, right? And I would make sure that was with me, because it would provide hours of entertainment. I mean, right? Because everything happens
absolutely
when you're 13.
That's exactly. That's a pivotal age, yep. 12 to 13.
It's a book I'm seriously thinking about this being my next book, is turning that into something, because it is, and I want to use that title, which I shouldn't be telling it to everybody, I guess.
What's, you know, the title
again? Everything happens at 13. Everything happens at 13. It's your ears pierced. You start to like boys. You get your period. You know, like, there's all these things that are big. And then the last book would be this. There's a great book called The Wishing Year by Noel Oxenhander. And it's a book about a group of women that, over this course of the story, they set up a club that's about realizing wishes, right? And it's this idea in terms of, it's very different than goals, right? Because goals tend to be much more about quantifiable things, and, right, we're all sort of conditioned to set those more professionally. But this book is much more about just, you know, the things you wish for in your heart, kind of a thing. And it's just a great inspiration to remember to keep wishing and thinking about what you want to make happen in your life or experience. So it would be a good way to, you know, feel more optimistic about getting off the island eventually, I guess.
Once you've dealt with it.
Yeah, I
survived it. That's great.
But it's a great book. I mean, I've turned so many women I know, especially, onto that book, and they love it. So that's that's what I would take.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. So like I said, I would probably take your book. I'm at a networking event now. What? So what's the best way for people to find out, to find your book and to find out more about you and your services?
Well, the book is available on iTunes and Amazon. The Kindle version is available. And thank you for that. Great plug. And when you're done, I meant to ask you if you'd be so kind as to maybe do an Amazon review for me.
Sure.
Those are always great to have. But my website is belladomain.com, right? Technically, I'm the chief connecting officer at Bella Domain Media. That's what I put on all my bios. And I'm on Twitter. I'm at SandyJK. And I do have a Facebook page, but I'm using that less and less. And I'm definitely on LinkedIn. I'm always open to connecting with people who are interested in growing their networks and learning more about each other and seeing if they can support each other professionally.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Sandy. It's been a great pleasure to hear your take on networking. It actually makes me look forward to my next opportunity. And it makes me think, oh, I don't even know that I have one on the calendar, so I better get busy.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I love hearing that. That's so gratifying for me. It's just being able to reframe it for people, but so it becomes something different.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that gift.
My pleasure. Thank you.
One of my favorite takeaways from this conversation is the idea of social karma, that I can bring something I love to do with a pay it forward attitude to the networking experience. It seems so simple to make that the focus of my next networking opportunity. In fact, I'm actually looking forward to it. After our interview, Sandy shared the following quote from Maya Angelou that speaks directly to the heart of meaningful and effective networking. "I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel." Now that you've heard Sandy's advice, what are you going to try out during the next month? Make a commitment to implement something you learned here, whether it's practicing chit-chat with the barista or sales clerk, or getting clear about your personal brand. Pick one thing that's a reasonable stretch and go for it. Then share your experience through a comment on the Introvert Entrepreneur Facebook page. I'd love to hear what worked for you. 2014 started out with a fabulous conversation with Zappos CEO Tony Hsieh, and Sandy has kept the pace going with her great advice and insight. Upcoming interviews this spring include Chris Guillebeau, author of The $100 Startup and The Art of Nonconformity, as well as being the founder of the World Domination Summit, and Lisa Petrilli, author of The Introvert's Guide to Success in Business and Leadership. I also will be sharing a fabulous conversation I had with Jennifer Boykin of Life After Tampons about finding your authentic voice. These are just a few of the amazing guests coming up in 2014, and I invite you to join us for all of them. Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends, colleagues, and social media networks, and consider leaving a review on iTunes or on the podcast webpage. If you want to learn more about my coaching, speaking, and training services, you can find me online at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You'll also find information about my first book, Insight, Reflections on the Gifts of Being an Introvert, which is available through Amazon.com. Until we meet again, remember that success is an inside job.